This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. It covers a wide variety of guests and topics. If you have any comments or suggestions for the program, please contact Bridget. That's B-R-I-G-I-D, Bridget at CatholicRadioIndy.org, or call us at 317-870-8400. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hey, Jim. Great to be with you, and thank you to everyone that's tuning in today.
And we've got a program today that a lot of people are going to find really interesting and end up asking themselves the question of, why didn't I know about that before? But before we get started, let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and for the precious gifts of life and health. Thank you for my family and my friends and my faith in you. Thank you that I live in the United States of America. Please bless and protect each member of my family and protect us from anything that would lead us away from you and from all harm, serious illness, bullying, addiction, abuse, and violence of all kinds. And through the cross and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, please one day welcome each of us into your holy kingdom. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for being with us. We have a really interesting show, and I'm really excited about talking about this topic. We're going to be talking about Catholic education, and we are blessed to be joined with our guest, Elizabeth Sullivan. She is the Executive Director for the Institute for Catholic Liberal Education. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Bridget and Jim.
And we always chat, you know, before we get started in these interviews, and it's really interesting what you learn. But we're talking about Catholic liberal education, and there's a lot of different terminology for Catholic education. What is?
Yeah, sure. Everything today has a label.
Yeah, it does.
And some labels people associate with, oh, good, and some people. Other labels you think, oh, not so good, maybe.
Yeah.
So when we say Catholic and liberal, they don't necessarily sound like they go together. Can you explain that?
That's right. We get this question a lot. So we are basically reclaiming the original sense of the word liberal.
Yeah.
Liberal, which comes from the Latin liber, which means free. So think of liberty, for example. So this goes right to the heart of some of the issues in our culture right now. What is authentic freedom? What does freedom actually mean? For hundreds of years, for centuries, liberal was understood as a liberal education was that which freed us to see the truth of things. Now we think of liberal as license. You know, to be free is not to have license to do whatever we want. It's really to govern ourselves with wisdom and virtue. So the modern world has inverted what true freedom really is, what authentic freedom is, which is ultimately freedom in Christ. But this is the aim of all Catholic education. We just use that term to highlight the Church's tradition, which is ordered toward freedom in Christ.
What a great answer. And I mean, at Catholic Radio Indy, we're all about, you know, spreading the gospel and letting or allowing people to hear the truth and to live out their freedom in a Catholic worldview. And I know a big part of the mission that we'll talk a little bit about your mission, but before we get started, you talk about how it's really helping people to have an authentic Catholic education from a Catholic worldview. Talk a little bit about that. What is a Catholic worldview versus maybe a secular worldview as it relates to education?
Sure. Well, as we know, the world is a different place through the eyes of faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything in the world God made has meaning and purpose. So there's all these wondrous connections to discover and to contemplate deeply that connect from the temporal world to the spiritual world, right? That draw our hearts and our minds and our souls to what is transcendent. We're made for that. Now, a secular model of education, the dominant model of education, erases God from the landscape across the curriculum. So we want to make sure in a Catholic school that we are really looking at nature, for example, connections in nature. God is speaking to us through all that is true and good and beautiful, and we want to awaken wonder in our students to look for these connections, to see these things. And also, there's another big thing, is to see themselves in the great story, the story of salvation history. Because for a Christian, history, the world is a different place, right? History had a beginning. It had a pivotal point in the incarnation, and it will have an end. So every day of the Christian life is either turning toward or turning away from our Lord. So history, we learn many things from history. The moral imagination is formed through history and story and understanding the consequences of decisions and the consequences of ideas throughout history. So we want to reclaim those things and look up across the entire curriculum from a supernatural point of view.
That's really cool. We're talking with Elizabeth Sullivan. She's the executive director for the Institute for Catholic Liberal Education. I want to talk a little bit about how you deliver what you do. I mean, are you like a building where people can attend, or are you, do you provide professional development or accreditation or curriculum? I mean,
yes.
Give us the landscape of what the Institute does.
Yes. We believe in restoring the nobility of teaching. So we support Catholic educators and Catholic schools to free them to reclaim this tradition. And in our experience, it doesn't take long to sketch out this beautiful vision of education, this beautiful, deeply human experience of education. And then they usually say, just tell us more. How do we do this? And so we work with teachers, school leaders, superintendents, everyone across the landscape, because this is really about conversion of heart. Teachers can't give what they don't have, so we need to cultivate in ourselves this ability, this sensitivity to see the world through the eyes of faith. Most of us have not received this education, so this is not just for those who have received it. Many of us are reclaiming it ourselves, and it reignites one's love of learning. And as I say, a teacher needs to love. We want Catholic teachers to love God, to love learning, and to love children. And if they have those qualities and they have an openness to learn this, they find that it's the answer to all their prayers in terms of their vocation. It reignites their vocation. And it's such a joy for us to work with them, because there's so many great people. They're not doing this for fame or fortune. They are in these classrooms. And this is hard, especially in today's culture. We want to support them. We're so excited about the work they're doing. And we know that for every one of them that is reignited in their vocation, they have exponential reach over, you know, among all the students in their classes. So we work with teachers. We have events. We have a huge national conference. We have different training programs. We showcase some of our member schools so that other educators can come and see that in action. We also have all kinds of workshops and professional development that we do in schools, usually over 2 and 3 year periods. So we gradually introduce this, because it's not so much a program to adopt as a philosophy and a theology to infuse across the curriculum. And it's not, teachers are so used to saying, here comes another fad that I've got to learn. Well, this is the antidote to all of this. We like to say that it's really a lifelong project to grow in the art of teaching in the light of Christ.
I want to ask a little bit about yourself. What's your background, and how did you happen to get involved in the Institute for Catholic Liberal Education?
I came to this work through my vocation as a mother, in a nutshell. I had been a journalist early on, and then I was able to stay home with my sons in their early years, and then my interest really became their education. And Catholic education was a priority for my husband and I. And though they were in some of the best Catholic schools where we lived at the time, I was distressed that I didn't understand what's going on with all these worksheets, and why are my inquisitive young children bored in school? It just didn't make sense to me. And so that sort of sent me down the rabbit hole of what's going on in education. Around that time, lay people opened a small independent school, and we sent our youngest son there. I saw within 2 months the difference in his love of learning, his incorporation of the faith. And this was really a fledgling school, and they weren't doing it completely, But it was such a different approach. There was such a love of learning. This is what parents are finding. Just like I saw my children coming home, spilling over at the dinner table about very rich content. I mean, in third grade, the Emperor Justinian and his codex and why this is important for us today. And so I wound up teaching at that school, and in order to help the school, I wound up finding my now colleagues at the Institute that was very small in terms of teacher training at that time. That was 2010. And they invited me to work with them. And once you see that it works, you can't help but want to do all you can to bring this to every child. Because I saw it as the answer. I still see it as the answer. It's rich, it's deep, and it gives our children roots in the faith that I think will be lifelong.
We're talking to Elizabeth Sullivan, Executive Director of the Institute for Catholic Liberal Education. And Elizabeth, people always talk about school as being the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic. And of course, a lot of schools have kind of wandered far from those areas and included other things on their agenda. Would you say that Catholic liberal education is getting back to just the reading, writing, and arithmetic, or do you have other things built into it as well?
Oh, yes. A great question, Jim. So without going too much into a rabbit hole here, from ancient times, in the classical world, there were these tools of thinking called the seven liberal arts. People hear liberal arts and they tend to think, oh, that's an English major or a history major in college, and how will my child ever get a job that way? Mm-hmm. Not true. I have two history majors who are doing quite well, thank you. But the seven liberal arts are actually the three arts of language, which is known as the trivium. So it's grammar, logic, and rhetoric. These are tools of thinking. And they've mainly gone by the wayside, right? But you can, to master language, language is the medium of thought. We need to master language. We need to name things in accord with their nature. The other four arts are the arts of number. So this is STEM on steroids, right? This is seeing pattern and order in the universe, mathematics, geometry, music, astronomy, or physics. So these things train the mind to see the truth of things. So we use the arts to study everything. So it's both, Jim. We want absolutely reading, writing, and arithmetic. And in fact, we recognize that, yes, we do need to memorize the parts of speech and diagram a sentence because we need to understand the relationship and hierarchy of language. But so we want to be able to do all those things. And we want to really understand pattern and order, but we want to use those things to discover the world and all these connections. So it's not just what we teach, but the way we teach. We want to develop habits of learning, a spirit of inquiry, to really desire to know.
We need to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about Catholic liberal education when we return. Stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Do you like game shows? How about trivia? You're listening to Catholic Radio, so I assume you're interested in the Catholic Church. Catholic Challenge 2.0 is the newest addition to our programming lineup here on Catholic Radio Indy. A 30-minute quiz show covering almost everything Catholic. Catholic Challenge 2.0 tests your knowledge and teaches at the same time. Check it out every Thursday afternoon at 4:30 right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley and I are in the studio, and we're talking with our guest, Elizabeth Sullivan. She is the Executive Director for the Institute for Catholic Liberal Education. And it's really interesting. It seems like the methodology or the worldview that you are offering in support of teachers is really helping them to know how to think or to think critically. Talk a little bit about, again, that worldview and maybe the pros and cons of, or if there are any drawbacks, to this type of educational model.
Sure. Well, I think I can say in a nutshell that what we are reclaiming here are really the best practices of 2,500 years of education. modern secular education is really just a blip in the history of education, really only about 100 years old, and we see that its results have not been very successful, failing by its own metrics in many ways in terms of literacy and numeracy, whereas the seven liberal arts produced, or a system using the seven liberal arts produced some of the greatest minds and the holiest saints in the history of the world. Why? Because it's an ordered pursuit of truth in all the disciplines.
I'm curious, Elizabeth, what type of difference or outcome do you see in the children that are participating in this type of education?
It's a big one. They love to learn. What you see in these schools is children who love learning, who are hungry for learning, who are making connections between all these different things. You also see that tests are not anxiety-producing because this is not ordered toward cram, test, and forget. It's learning for its own sake, and the tests become, how do I demonstrate what I know? How do I pull together what I know? So you see a real difference in that. You also see that because things are integrated, they remember things. It sticks in their memory for years. You know, stories of history, figures in history, scientific information, it's all knit together in a story. So, for example, a lot of our schools will, I started to talk about salvation history before in history. They will teach history as a chronological vision, the ancient world, the Greeks, the Romans, the Egyptians, the coming of Christ, and then the medieval world, and then the modern world, right? So we'll see this, and we'll see that with discoveries in history or discoveries in science and historical developments, literature, architecture, music. Mm-hmm. A culture speaks to an entire people. So this is an exciting, coherent view of the world. And children remember it. We all learn by story.
Mm-hmm.
Our Lord taught by parable, by story, right? So mm-hmm. this is engaging and it's very memorable for the children.
Now you mentioned children in your program are hungry for learning, and I, as you mentioned that, I got to thinking, aren't all children kind of born hungry for learning and somewhere along the way get weaned away from that somehow?
Absolutely, Jim. That's a great question. Think of every toddler you know, or every 3-year-old or 4-year-old asking questions all the time. We want to foster that sense of inquiry, that desire to know. Why is it that we have apathetic learners in high school? It's because we've taken meaning and purpose out of learning in the average classroom. But when this is an adventure to discover these connections, it's a whole different enterprise, and the schools feel different. And the teachers enjoy it, too. Of course, it's much more enjoyable to have engaged students, not those who are just apathetic and staring out the window. So there's a sense of learning together. So there's, for example, much more discussion in the classroom, very rich content. So one aspect of modern education is that it's very focused on skills and facts, but random disconnected facts. That's not inspiring, right? We want rich content that means something. And what we also see, and this is beautiful, this is not an elitist education. Because it's a deeply human education, it cultivates that desire to know. And also because it's very ordered and stepwise, there's natural differentiation built in. So students who struggle suddenly become scholars themselves because they're interested in the content, they're drawn into the class discussions, the readings, and they want to know, and so the skills come along with that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need the gifted and talented program, and you don't need the remedial program, unless for some students who really do need that extra support. But in general, there's this appeals to a wide range and serves a wide range of students.
Mm-hmm. Now, can your ideas, your concepts be incorporated into existing schools, or does somebody have to pretty much scrap what they have and start from scratch?
No. In fact, now probably 2/3 of the schools we work with are, we work with startup schools, but more and more, the majority are diocesan schools who are now reclaiming the church's intellectual tradition. And so we work with them a bit at a time. So, for example, we often start with, what are you using for language development? Let's look at what you're using, and let's make sure you've got the right curricula. And the other thing is this historical narrative, because that is the place where you see children engage. and really find meaning, and we can teach form the moral imagination and help them see themselves in this way.
I want to talk a little bit about accreditation and because, you know, schools are thinking, well, I'm kind of tied to the state or I'm tied to like my teacher licensing of doing certain things. And I don't know. Can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, can they incorporate your curriculum? I mean, can they still meet the state standards or is that a whole different conversation? Could you touch on that just a little bit?
Sure. Most of the schools we work with still have to conform to state standards. Mm-hmm. And what teachers find is that when you're using these deeply human ways of teaching, when you're mastering language and number, in fact, the test scores rise in general. And if you don't start with the state standards, but you look at the state standards afterwards, you notice that you've checked every box.
Good.
But you haven't looked at it as just facts and skills. You've looked at it in a holistic, comprehensive way. We're learning about this, and of course we're checking all these boxes on the skills, but it's driven by rich content and deep knowledge. Our schools can use regular accreditation. The real difference that we are now finding, and in fact the Institute for Catholic Liberal Education has addressed this in a very particular way, modern schools of education are founded in a secular philosophy. So we can understand that the methods and the approaches are different. So ICLE has formed, has launched a new, it's called the Catholic Educator Formation and Credential Program. So it is an alternative to state teacher licensure, which is, deeply infuses a Catholic approach and philosophy to teaching. Mm-hmm. So this is very exciting because it's spreading rapidly. We launched it for Archbishop Aquila in the Archdiocese of Denver, but it is now spreading. We have a national cohort. We have, we're also bringing it to the state of Oklahoma. Both dioceses in the state of Oklahoma are going to accept this, and we're actually bringing it there. So more and more bishops, superintendents, principals are realizing that we need a different approach. We have a different view of education. We need different training. We see it as a religious liberty issue. In most states, Catholic schools are not required to hire teachers with state licenses, although many schools do because we all agree we just can't send anybody into a classroom. We want people who know what they're doing,
right,
and can manage a classroom and have
sure.
content knowledge themselves.
Sure.
But we have a different approach to mm-hmm. education. Sometimes they conflict with modern methods, and so we want to be able to train these teachers in with a totally Catholic philosophy in view.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Elizabeth Sullivan, Executive Director of the Institute for Catholic Liberal Education. And Elizabeth, what are some of the common misconceptions about your program? Are there people that say, not for my kid, you know, that sort of thing? Are there misconceptions?
Yes, there are misconceptions. I named one of them. Some people say that's elitist. That's not for every child. And our answer to that is, in a way, that question itself is elitist, right? Why wouldn't every single child deserve and the best education that's ever been known that immerses them in all that is true and good and beautiful? Some people say it's outdated, it's backward-looking. What about modern methods? We see that the modern methods have failed. We're returning to something that worked for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. So this is enduring because it's based in the nature of the human person and the nature of reality, which do not change. So some people think it's not, what about my child won't be an engineer? It's not STEM-focused. As I said before, the quadrivium is STEM on steroids. It's seeing the integration of pattern and order. What does a physician do but look for patterns of symptoms to make a diagnosis?
Mm-hmm.
What does a lawyer do but look for patterns of principles of jurisprudence to try a case? What does a quarterback do but look at a pattern in the defensive line? Right? So mm-hmm. we're training the mind to think and to be very nimble in a changing world where there are careers no one has ever thought of. But the main thing here is we learn so that we know how to live, not just so that we know how to earn a living. The state system of education sees a student as a future worker.
Mm-hmm.
A Catholic school sees the child in much greater dimensions as an eternal soul, body and soul.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just getting mesmerized listening to you, because this is really fascinating, and it's such a solution to some of the modern problems we have in education as a whole. And, you know, thinking, going back to what really worked for, as you mentioned, hundreds and even thousands of years, creating the greatest thinkers, saints, innovators, inventors, you know, you name it, astronomers, whatever, you know, this has worked. So why would we not go back to that? I want you to get into some of the resources. We just have a couple minutes left, about 2 minutes left. Resources, and how do people learn more about what you're doing? And if a teacher or someone was listening and they wanted to find out how to get connected to you, what would they do?
Sure. Our website is CatholicLiberalEducation.org. It's a very large, comprehensive website. So we've got all these events. We've got formation. They can contact us. Let's say a school just wants to dip their toe in and explore this. We can do a one-day introductory workshop right there on site. They can come to our national conference, although it's selling out. Our national conference is July 17th through 20th in Pittsburgh. I think we only have 50 spaces left, but schools can also live stream portions of our national conference, which is a place where educators gather and are very much renewed. So there's this growing network of educators across the country. We've got 189 member schools, up 24%, I think, in the last year. So this is a very rapidly growing movement, and it is renewing schools. And this is not just for dying schools. Even schools who think they're doing well, we might have our Catholic bubble, and it looks good, but we can see the statistics about our children losing their faith mm-hmm. once they leave college or mm-hmm. once they go to college. You're not seeing that in these children. So we need to dig deeper, because we're in an aggressively secular culture, and we have to push ourselves to find solutions to how we knit the faith deeply into the hearts, minds, and souls of our children.
We are out of time. This has been a fascinating topic. You can get more information at CatholicLiberalEducation.org. Our guest has been Elizabeth Sullivan, Executive Director for the Institute for Catholic Liberal Education. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be with you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. This program and all Faith in Action programs can be heard or downloaded as podcasts from CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a comment or suggestion for guests or topics for the program, please contact Bridget. That's B-R-I-G-I-D, Bridget at CatholicRadioIndy.org, or call us at 317-870-8400. This program has been pre-recorded.